Moose jotted a COM, two RCMP officers, including a confident and competent rookie, searched Jeremy Saborin for weapons after arresting him on outstanding warrants, but never found the concealed pistol that he later used on himself, a coroner's inquest heard. RCMP Const. Paisley Armstrong with the Assiniboia Detachment took the witness stand at Court of King's Bench in Moose Jaw on April 16, on day two of the inquest, looking into how events unfolded that led to Saborin committing suicide in a Moose Jaw Police Service cell on October 7, 2021. A chance encounter. Saborin, 40, had been wanted for sexual assault and assault since December 2020 when Armstrong unexpectedly discovered him at an Assiniboia auto parts store on October 6, 2021, while visiting the community's Justice of the Peace, a store employee, on another matter altogether. As she was walking into the business, Armstrong said a white Ford Ranger truck caught her eye, since she had been looking for it and the license plate, for a very long time. Moreover, she knew the plate was registered to Saborin and that he drove the truck. The constable knew she had to exercise extreme caution around Saborin since he was a known sports shooter who competed professionally. He was a national champion who stored firearms in his vehicle and may have carried one, so she called two colleagues for backup. Furthermore, backup was important since she stood 5-6 while he stood 6-4 and weighed nearly 250 pounds. Making the arrest. The situation moved quickly, however, as Saborin attempted to discreetly leave the store, prompting Armstrong to make the arrest. Her main concern was he would go to his truck, which might have a firearm inside, and potentially use it. Officers later found a loaded 9mm handgun on the front seat of the truck. He was described to me as a borderlands, freeman on the land, individual. This would be the type of person who questions lawful authority, and Canadian laws and feel they don't apply to them, she said. I believed he would resist arrest based on this knowledge. Armstrong found the encounter stressful because Saborin refused to comply with her orders to put his hand behind him, saying he needed to put away his purchase in his truck, which concerned her because of the possible firearm there. After repeatedly telling the man in a louder and louder voice to comply, Armstrong grabbed the purchase from his hands, threw it on the ground and attempted to cuff him. This all happens very quickly. I made the decision to make him do this, she said. The two struggled, with the officer cuffing the right wrist. At one point, she noticed Saborin reached for a utility knife in his pocket, so she grabbed it and tossed it to the ground. Eventually, she overcame his efforts and cuffed both wrists and put him in her car. Backup arrives. Corporal Mark Dykstra finally arrived and, because Armstrong was still catching her breath, read Saborin his charter rights and gave him a quick pat down, finding several items in pockets. Dykstra also asked the man whether he had any knives, guns or hand grenades on his person, something the corporal did to put people at ease. Saborin replied, I don't remember, which Armstrong noted was not a typical answer to a yes or no question. That's not the first time I've been told that, Dykstra told the inquest, noting the answer was and wasn't suspicious since other prisoners have said odd things and officers have sometimes found objects on them. The officers drove to the detachment, where they were met by Const. Colin Tutreau, a rookie with 6 months of service, and Sergeant Dennis Silliker, the detachment commander and senior officer. Tutreau then conducted a second search of Saborin. Overseeing a rookie, Armstrong, 26, said Tutreau was the first member she had trained and mentored as a field coach. Even though she had roughly 3 years' experience then, RCMP policy was members could train others if they had at least 2 years' experience. Compared to other cadets who had come through, Tutreau had a knack for searching prisoners and was confident, competent and didn't need his hand held, she said. To the best of my recollection, Const. Colin Tutreau performed a textbook search exactly the way we're taught at Depot, Armstrong continued. So much so, that he located this very, very small USB key that was in Mr. Saborin's pocket that had been missed previously when he was searched by Corporal Dykstra. Armstrong and Siliker also watched to tro-check Saberin's socks and feet for hidden items, so thorough was his search. She noted that the only feedback they gave him was to take off the man's mask next time. This was during the pandemic, to check his mouth. Neither Dykstra nor Dutro found the small Derringer Type .22 caliber pistol in a holster that was clipped onto Saberin's underwear on the inside. Armstrong said she watched Dutro check the waistband but didn't recall seeing whether his finger went inside the underwear. Dutro was exceptionally thorough. It didn't seem possible that he overlooked anything, she stated. Failure to follow policy. Armstrong also said the detachment had a metal detection wand. She had used one before, but they never used it in this situation and she didn't know why. Emotionally, she added that many things were happening at the office since there were many moving parts with this file, which could be a reason. The office's original goal was to release Saborin through a justice of the peace and have him return to the next court date in Assiniboia. However, Dutro and Siliker went to invest the man's truck after a resident called saying the vehicle was blocking an alley. That's when they found the loaded handgun inside. Returning, they charged him with unsafe storage of a firearm and prepared to ship him to Moose Jaw for provincial court the next day. Armstrong also had Dutro write up two warrants to search the houses of Saborin and his parents for the former's firearms. F Division headquarters later approved the requests. A trip to Moose Jaw. Const. Paul Evans from the Koronik detachment later arrived to transport Saborin to Moose Jaw since the Assiniboia members were all busy. Armstrong said Evans likely searched the prisoner before taking him, but she didn't see it since she was doing something else. However, Evans told the inquest that he never searched Saborin because he knew the man had been in cells for about 7 hours and he looked like he had been searched based on his ruffled clothing, thus making his search efforts redundant. The constable communicated this to the MJPS's staff sergeant Chris Flanagan when he brought the prisoner to the cell. A lawyer showed Evans a video from the detention cells on October 6th. Which allegedly has Flanagan asking whether Saborin had been searched and Evans allegedly saying, "I didn't find anything but somebody else did." Evans disputed the audio, the lawyer played the clip several times, and what he said, claiming he actually told Flanagan, "I didn't, no, finding anything." Evans also said that he's taken 10 to 15 prisoners to Moose Jaw throughout his career and city police have always searched people and used a metal detection wand. However, he said that, this was the only time, police didn't search one of his prisoners or use a wand.